welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Talks, by the way, are all going up on the internet now. If nobody's tried that yet, go to kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire and you can listen to any of the talks. I was just joking with Martin this morning that his talk went up from last week, and he was... You can also go to like the national page for Kingdom Faith. And for a little while, if you went to the national page of Kingdom Faith, the default message at the top, just above Colin Urquhart, was Martin Stringer. We like it. Praise the God. Praise God. Now, this is, what I want to do now is show you the link between Kate's testimony, Abraham, and Take That. Great. So I want you to... listen carefully, because I'm actually going to play a song by Take That. If those of you that don't know the universe, Take That are a band, a boy band from quite some time ago, but they've sort of surfaced back on the scene, a bit of a man band now, really, because they're too old to be a boy band. And you know how God's telling us to go into the marketplace, to walk across the water, to walk to the other side of the room, and all this stuff. This morning we've got to look at, well, how's that going to happen? How do you get the confidence to walk across the room? You know, how do you get the confidence to go to the other side that God's been saying? And what's it going to be like when we do? Because sometimes we have this tendency to think, you know, the conference down south, to jump back to another thought, has just been called Inside Out. And we managed to sort of get one and a half of them at Lamplugh. But the whole message is really that's been going on at the conference down there, and you can also get them online as well, all free, if you want to listen to them, is all about the church being inside out, everything not happening on the inside, but everything happening on the outside, you know? And we can tend to think, if we're not careful, that the outside is less spiritual. There's nothing more spiritual about being here Sunday morning than there is about going to work on Monday morning. Do you remember the prophetic start to this church? The date God gave was the date after we actually started here. And it was like God emphasizing, actually, it's outside now. You know, and we're going to hear God quite clearly when we're out in the world. That's right. And I was listening to this song, embarrassingly enough to admit, you know, but I was listening to this song and God spoke to me. And he should share these words with you this morning, and we'll see how it links with Abraham. The song's called Shine. And not every single sentence in the song applies, but nearly every sentence in the song applies. And actually, if you listen carefully, and Ben's going to try and be clever and put the words up with the song on the screen, which is quite a challenge for him. So, you know, if he doesn't get it quite right, forgive him. And if he does get it quite right, you can give him a tremendous round of applause. So we're going to listen to Shine by Take That and see if any of the words speak to you, because they did to me. It's just as if Jesus is singing it to you. Okay?
You're such a big star to me. You're everything I want to be. But just look in a hole. And now...
Well done, Ben. Hey, Ben, you did it. Excellent. Isn't that amazing? Just a secular pop song.
Yes.
Amen.
No, amen.
Of course, it's what old man at the top of the list of Kingdom Faith was was preaching last week about Let's Let It Shine. It's God can speak to you through anything. And he spoke to people through a donkey, so he can speak to us through Take That. No, I didn't mean that. Apologies to Take That. But yeah, so come on, get it on. I don't know what you're waiting for. Your time is coming. Your time has come. Don't be late. Hey, so come on. Let's see the light on your face. Let it shine. Just let it shine. Let it shine.
Yes.
It's time to walk in the promise.
Yes.
You're such a big star to me.
Yes.
Amen. Stop being hard on yourself.
Yes.
It's not good for your health. This is so good. I know that you can change. So clear your head and come round. You might just get a big surprise and end up with a big smile on your face. It's so good. So come on, get it on. I don't know what you're waiting for. Don't be late. Hey, come on, let the light from your face shine.
Yes.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But what's the connection we Take That and Abraham? Well, that is telling us there to, basically, it's the same thing that you can get from Abraham, is to walk in the promise.
Yes.
Amen. It's saying, come on, what are you waiting for? You've got it. You've got everything. Jesus doesn't say, if you pray hard enough, you'll get it. He just says, it's there for you for the taking.
Amen.
So come on, let it shine.
Yes.
You might just get a big surprise. Cool, I've never quoted Take That quite so much ever. You know, let's have a look at Abraham for a minute. I'm going to need my glasses because I want to read a bit of scripture today. I can manage the odd verse, but no more. So, here we go. What do you reckon? Oh, you're looking a lot better. Slightly blurred, less wrinkles. Right. So, chapter 12 in Genesis. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, or Abram, as he's still known, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. That was a quick journey, wasn't it? But you read that, and you sort of think, okay, that's Abraham. What's that got to do with me? This is a 75-year-old man from a very long time ago. How can that possibly have any relevance for me in 2008? And why is that story connected with Take That and Kate's healing? I've already told you part of the hint. Let's jump right through the Bible now and go to Galatians, okay? And you're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. Because these stories of Abraham are no dusty stories from the past. They're not even just interesting stories from the past. They are so much more, okay? So let's have a look in Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 5. Does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what was heard? That is where we're going to start. Okay? God is telling us this is the time of the spirit working miracles amongst us. Okay? Is that going to happen by us being really, really good? Being a fantastic church? Is it going to be by having absolutely regular attendance? These are all good things, by the way. The answer here is quite clear. No. It's by believing. It's by trusting the Lord. So still, what connection has that got with Abraham? What connection has it got with Take That? You've probably seen that one by now. Consider Abraham, says the writer to Galatians. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then, those who are believe are the children of Abraham. Ah, right, now we're starting to spot a connection between this old man of 4,000 plus years ago and us. We're spotting a relevance between something in the book of Genesis and something to do with our lives today. Something that is so radically important that if you miss it, you're going to miss 90% of what God's talking about. So come on, what are you waiting for? Let's get in there. Okay? So you are a child of Abraham. That's what it's saying here. How come? Physically, you might be. Possibly throughout the lineage. But possibly not. So what's he talking about? Understand then that those who believe are the children of Abraham. Believe what? Okay, let's read on. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's everybody who's not Jewish, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. And this is what the Lord said, all nations will be blessed through you. Notice this is right back when God is really dealing with man for the first time. And by man, I mean man and woman. Okay, understand, the scriptures foresaw all nations will be blessed through you. So before he chose Abraham and chose the people who would say, my God is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, by the time, before even a Jewish identity had been created and God set apart a people to demonstrate his purpose, he said that all nations will be blessed through you, through Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So what Paul, the writer to Galatians, is saying here is as we believe in God, we start to walk in something to do with Abraham. You say, well, surely we're to do with Jesus. Yes, but actually it's greater than that. Because if you just look to Jesus, you could get yourself stuck 2,000 years ago. And here we're going back to the beginning of mankind. And in fact, if we're walking in what Abraham had inherited, we're going right back to the very book of the beginning, very beginning of the Bible in Genesis. You know, sometimes we skip that bit out. And we find that God called Nabil and Jamala right at the very beginning of creation.
Yes.
You know, we're not just, oh, I've made a decision for Christ and so now I'm in on it. No, we've actually been there from the very beginning.
Yes.
And the fact that God is speaking to us now about releasing miracles and releasing the Spirit of God more fully through us so that people are saved and added into the kingdom, basically, so that the purpose of God is fulfilled in Yorkshire. That's all happening, but it's not that we just happen to be there. We're called to be here. It was planned before the beginning of creation that you, Leslie, would be part of this church, and what the move of God that's going to happen in Wold Newton has already been planned in heaven. The angels are already celebrating in advance because they already see what's happening there that's going to happen through you too. I mean, this actually, when you start to grasp it, begins to get so incredibly exciting. Yeah, it's I don't know you two ladies. It's lovely to have you here this morning, but it won't be a coincidence that God brought you here this morning to hear this message. God will have planned that before creation.
Yes.
There'll be something in what's said this morning, in the worship that's said this morning, or maybe just somebody says to you that God has for you.
Right.
It's a word for you to build you up, to encourage you, to move you on in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. And anybody else, there's a few of you that are visiting this morning. God never works by chance. He always works by purpose and destiny that you hear the word of God. Amen? To build you up, to fulfill the purpose that he has for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jackie, you're being so encouraging. I'm loving it. Yeah, you're pushing me on here. It's so true. We were saying this in the week in one of the 9 o'clocks, that when you agree with what I'm saying, and lots of you are, it really you lift the preacher into the presence of God and you get a better message. So it's really in your interest. Okay, so we're moving on here. Where am I up to? Okay, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 10, all those who rely on observing the law are under a curse. So if you try and do it under your own strength by trying to be good, even by trying to obey the Old Testament, it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So you've only got to drop one tiny bit, and I don't think there's anybody in this room that's never made one mistake, and you've cursed. You're under a curse. This is, of course, why the Jews couldn't believe in Jesus. It's why he was such a challenge, because the Bible says that cursed is the man who hangs upon a tree. And so when Jesus was crucified on the cross, symbolic of a tree because it was made of wood, the Jews said, well, he's cursed. How can he be the Messiah? How can he be the one that the Bible's foretold of? He's cursed. But the whole point was, he was cursed. He was cursed so that the curse could be lifted from us, so that those who believe in it are not under a curse, but under blessing. Amen? And these are the days of blessing. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you guys are good. I love this. Right. As it then says here, let's actually see. It says it. I'm not just making it up. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us.
Yes.
For it's written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. He redeemed us. And here it comes. Here's the connection. That the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? We are heirs of the promise. So come on, come on. I don't know what you're waiting for. The time has come. Don't be late. Let's see the light on your face. Let it shine.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, don't let your demons pull you down. Because you can have it all. You can have it all. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know if Take That knew they were being prophetic when they wrote that song. It's really only the first verse that doesn't work, apart from the first line. The first line is, you're such a big star to me. But you are, that's what you are to God. You're a big star. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, he died for you. He must think pretty much of you to have done that. He must have thought you were worth something. To give up his life, who was, after all, the Son of God, just the Son of God, you know? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, verse 16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed. The scripture, it says here, the scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. So now some of you might be thinking, hey, Paul, you're contradicting yourself. Or if you're a little more polite, you might say, hey, Pastor Paul, you're contradicting yourself. But you just said the promise for Abraham was for all of us. And now you're saying, because it says it here in the Word, that it says Abraham and his seed, the scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. So is it only Christ who is the inheritor of all the promises? Huh. Well, what I mean is this. it says here, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depended on the law, which came after Abraham, then it no longer depended on a promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. That still doesn't answer the question about whether it's just for Jesus or whether it's for us. Because I want to know if it's for me.
Amen.
Yeah? It then talks about the fact that what was the purpose of the law. And he says, well, if you don't have the law, it's hard to tell what actually is wrong. Yeah. It's hard to tell what actually is walking in the promise. It was like a beginning to show people what was required, but was totally totally not possible unless you've got God with you. Okay? So is the law opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would have come by the law. We've got another word coming in here, righteousness. Righteousness means being right with God.
Yes.
Okay? But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Now you're beginning to see the connection. It was, the promises of God were only given to Jesus. Okay? From Abraham. But that's how we access them through Jesus. How do you access them? It's a promise, so you believe it. You're a child of God, so you receive your inheritance. Amen? Now, you only receive an inheritance when the person who's giving has died. But who died? Jesus! So we get the full inheritance. Amen? Before faith came, we were held prisoners, locked up until faith should be revealed. Oh, so the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. Here's another word, that we might be justified by faith. Justified, righteous. Righteous is being put right with God. Justified, the easiest way to remember justified is the old children's way. Just as if I'd never sinned.
Yes.
Justified. It's far, 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 far more than just somebody saying, I forgive you. It's just as if you'd never done the things or not done the things in the first place. In other words, it's restoration all the way back to what Adam and Eve had in the garden and the whole inheritance, the whole promise of God.
Yeah. Yes.
In other words, it's restoration to all the promises of God, which we're going to go and have a look at because some of the most important promises come right at the very beginning with Abraham, which we get because we're children of Abraham, because we've inherited the promises because we're children of God.
Amen?
Amen? I love all this stuff. Do you love it? Yeah. It's quite heavy, really, some of this stuff. It's all of righteousness, faith, blah-de-blah, Galatian letters. But actually, then you get into it and you suddenly find it makes a difference in your life.
Yeah.
It's going to make a difference in the shop when you're selling fancy clothes.
Yeah.
Amen? Because it means when you're selling fancy clothes, you're actually walking in the promises given that God has given you. It doesn't just mean that people come in, you're going to get the chance to witness to them and see them saved and fall on the floor in front of you. That might well happen, and I expect those kind of things to happen. But just the fact people come into your shop and buy means those who bless you are blessed.
Yes.
So those who buy dresses or suits or whatever from your shop, they're going to be blessed.
Yes.
I mean, and when people are blessed, that draws them to God.
Yes.
So the act of selling a dress is just as spiritual as on your knees or fasting. All these things are necessary. Not everybody's called to sell dresses, though. Richard was just sensing a new calling then. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you were baptized, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. That's why baptism is so important. If you've not been baptized by being immersed in water, you need to be. It's not just a sort of a symbolic act. You're physically identifying with what Christ is doing. A baptism service is a funeral service. Okay? That's why the best baptism pools are something you go down into. You go down into the grave, and when you come, and you go under the water because you die underwater. Okay? We don't hold you down so you literally die. Unless we particularly don't like you. But then when you come back up out of the water, it's you're saying, I am in the new life. I am in the promises of Abraham. I am a child of God. And actually, there's an identification and a taking hold of the promises far more than before. So if you've never been water baptized, so come on, get it on. I don't know what you're waiting for. Your time has come. Don't be late. Come on. Amen. See Kate, see Peter, get your names down and we'll arrange them. There aren't any arranged at the moment, but now there's going to be a queue. We can. And if you get some friends saved in the meantime, they can join you. Okay. Right. So then it says, For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son where the father puts the robe around the younger son? It's that picture, a robe of righteousness. It's not just righteousness, it's Jesus Christ himself. You are clothed in him. So that when God the Father looks down from heaven at this church, he just sees it full of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is why you receive the promises, because you are hidden in Christ. And Christ has received the promised. Amen. So if you were to be denied a healing, or you were to be denied financial provision, or were you to you were denied a solution to whatever is going on in your life, it would be like God denying his son the right to his inheritance. Can you imagine Jesus not being able to access healing? But you are in Christ. You are clothed in Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We've just got to take hold of our inheritance. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. You see, this is where it comes from. It's not some great statement of anti-racism or freedom from sexism. It's saying you're all one in Christ because you're all Christ-like. Yes. You're all hidden in Christ. Yes. Therefore, all can do what they're called to do. Yes. You can't say women can't preach because they're in Christ. Yes. What do you mean, they're a special kind of Christ? Are you saying Christ can't preach because he's in a dress? I mean, he wore one, didn't he?
Yes.
So do most Anglicans. Anyway, sorry, scrub that from the recording. I wore one of those dresses things when I was in the Church of England, and it was for a special Christmas service that the church organist had sort of twisted my arm to be part of. Actually, it was really good fun. But it was like me and 22 old ladies. And but they gave me this, you know, the cassock and the thing. But and you had to, we had to do the processing down the church and sing and all that sort of stuff. I suppose you would if you were a choir, wouldn't you? But my problem was you had to, the church was, had sort of steps in it and stuff like that, and my cassock was slightly too long. So quite often I had to sort of surreptitiously lift my skirts as we walked along. So, I'm sure it wasn't that that scarred me for life and why I'm no longer in the Anglican Church. Actually, I've just been blessed by Martin Dunning. He's the vicar at St. Mary's here in Scarborough, and he's invited me to go and speak there on Easter, their Easter praise evening on Sunday evenings, which is very generous of him.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. Anyway, moving on. So we're all one. There's nobody less, there's nobody more. I'm not better than you because I'm the preacher. You're not better than me because you're asleep. You know? It's the deep snoring coming from the back. It's the sound men, really. What I'm saying is this. See, he didn't notice. So what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set his father. Okay, we're coming back to being heirs. Heirs of the promise. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of this world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights of sons.
Amen.
Why sons and not sons and daughters? Because he's referring to the law as it was then, and the son, the firstborn son, received everything. Okay? Now, if you're a woman, and most of you are probably sure which way you are. If you are a woman, you are a daughter of God, but in your position, you're a son of God. You're not a second-class person. You're not a superior person, as some ladies would have. But you are. We are all one in Christ. And because you are a firstborn son, as your position, you receive the full inheritance. Amen? Which we're going to come on to in a minute. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so you're no longer a slave, but you're a son.
Yes.
And since you are a son, God has made you an heir.
Yes.
So take that. Okay? Right, we're not going to go into the rest of the stuff there. He then comes, he gets back to sort of Hagar and Sarah and everything else, and I was going to speak a bit on that, but I want to get onto something slightly different. Just out of interest, though, Kate, my last verse that I've got to use this morning was this one. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and don't let yourselves be yoked by a burden of slavery. Don't get caught up with religion.
Yes.
Don't get caught up with, you should do things this way. These are dangerous times we're living in because God is sending the church out. So you'll find yourself in Mansion House nightclub in Scarborough. Okay? You will. Well, maybe not you personally, but some of you might. Okay, some of you younger ones, you're going to go into some right dodgy places, but you're going to need to know you're an heir of the promise, that you are a child of God, so that you can survive there. But you will survive there just as long as you're plugged into God, because God's got that call on you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the only name of the only nightclub I could remember. That's why I used that one. I'm not a regular frequenter, but perhaps I should be. Although I quite fancy the bingo hall for a church. No. Or possibly the casino. Hallelujah. Right. So you're inheritors of the promise.
Yes.
Have you got that?
Yes.
You've got that revelation?
Yes.
Right. Well, we're going to do something that we don't normally do. We're going to do some reading together. Well, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read something to you and then you're going to say it back. Okay? We did this one morning at 9 o'clock and God said to me then, it would be good to do that with your whole church. So I've got here, I don't know how many of you have ever seen this, the Personalised Promise Bible. And the only thing I will say to you is I read some bits from you this morning. Is some of it's the King James Version. So, you know, if my tongue gets in a bit of a twist, just forgive me. And don't laugh if it sounds funny. Some of the way it's phrased, it just sounds funny because it's such an English that's out of date. The amazing thing, of course, was when it was published, it was the everyday language. That was the genius of it. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to go right back to the beginning of the Bible, as it is in here, okay? And I'll read to you a bit of scripture, and then there's a declaration of faith, which I'll read to you, and you can repeat the bits that I read afterwards. Because when you speak out the word, that's what makes a difference.
Yes.
Remember, right at the very beginning is when God spoke that we saw creation happen.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And unfortunately, you can't really speak out with authority when you're sitting down. So we're all going to stand up, even while I'm reading. Okay, the first reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. I'll read the reading first. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Right, and here comes the declaration of faith, which is then based straight on Scripture. So what you're saying is Scripture. And you're speaking over your life, saying, "This is true, this is part of my promise, I'm going to see this now." All right? Just take that, say, "Take it now."
Yes,
you can have everything.
Yes,
all right? Yes. It's not just take that, it's the Lord speaking to you.
Yes.
I am created in the image and likeness of Almighty God.
I am created in the image and likeness of Almighty God.
I have been given complete authority.
I have been given complete authority.
Complete rule and dominion.
Complete rule and dominion.
Over the fish of the sea.
Over the fish of the sea.
The birds of the air.
The
beasts of the field,
and
every creeping thing on the earth.
I am a representation of God's authority
and his likeness.
And
I have been given rulership of this planet.
He
has blessed me
and
commanded me to take dominion over it. And subdue it for his glory. Okay? So the only authority you've got is over the complete planet. Is that enough for you? Okay, Genesis 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Here's the declaration. I have abundant favor with God.
I have abundant favor with God.
I am a just and righteous man, or woman. And I walk in continual fellowship with him. Notice how the guy that's written this has taken the word grace and put on what it actually means, which is abundant favor. Because sometimes you can get so caught up with the word grace, it just sounds kind of nice, you forget what it means in everyday language. Abundant favor of God.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Okay, more from Genesis 6. Noah did everything just as God commanded him, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And what's the declaration of faith? I do all that the Lord commands me to do.
I do all that the Lord commands me to do.
You said it. Hallelujah. Genesis 8. You see, these are the promises that were given to Abraham. He inherited these, and then we're coming up to some fresh ones. So they're ours.
Yes.
Amen? Amen?
Yes.
They're not just some dry bit of the Bible. They're not just some bit at the beginning that's interesting. It's ours. It's lively. It's now.
Yes.
While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease, is the scripture. While the earth remains...
While the earth remains...
I can absolutely count on seed time and harvest.
I can absolutely count on seed time and harvest.
Cold and heat.
Cold and heat.
Summer and winter.
Summer and winter.
And day and night.
And day and night.
These fixed and certain laws remain in the earth.
These fixed and certain laws remain in the earth.
Therefore I know.
Therefore I know.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
That I will reap what I have sown.
That I will reap what I have sown.
When I sow my seed, I can count on a harvest.
When I sow my seed, I can count on a harvest.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's harvest time. Yeah. Genesis 9. And God pronounced a blessing upon Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread and terror of you should be upon every beast of the land, every bird of the air, all that creeps upon the ground and upon all the fish of the sea. They are delivered into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green vegetables and plants, I give you everything. Mm. Declaration of faith. God has abundantly blessed me with good things of every kind.
God has abundantly blessed me with good things of every kind.
Yeah, don't just say this. Just see this.
Yes.
Take hold of it. It might just make you smile. God has God created me to live and walk in dominion.
God created me to live and walk in dominion.
Something bugging you? Deal with it.
Yes, come on.
The Lord has provided me all the resources of the earth.
The Lord has provided me all the resources of the earth.
Is that enough? Should get a few things done. All things are His.
All things are His.
And He has made me a steward of His riches in the earth.
And He has made
Aha, now we've got to Abraham. Genesis 12, where I started. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Spell S-H-E-W. And I shall make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, that's a promise given to Abraham. Let's just have a look. How can we take this on for ourselves? I have been called by God to fulfill the destiny that He has for my life.
Amen.
I have been called by God to fulfill the destiny that He has for my life. He has made me great.
He has made me great.
And has blessed me.
And has blessed me.
With an abundance of all good things.
With an abundance of all good things.
All of my needs.
All of my needs.
And all of my desires.
And all of my desires.
Are fully met in Him.
Are fully met in Him.
If I honor God.
If I honor God.
He has promised to promote me.
He has promised to promote me.
To a position of prominence.
To a position of prominence.
It's time to get promoted.
Yes.
I am blessed and I am a blessing.
I am blessed and I am a blessing.
In this awesome prosperity that I enjoy.
In this awesome prosperity that I enjoy.
That comes from my Heavenly Father.
That comes from my Heavenly Father.
I have plenty for myself.
I have plenty for myself.
With an abundance left over.
With an abundance left over.
So that I can be a blessing to others.
So that I can be a blessing to others.
God blesses those who bless me.
God blesses those who bless me.
And curses those who curse me.
And curses those who curse me.
He brings me to a place of abundant favors.
Brings me to a place of abundant favors.
Woo! And confers on me happiness and prosperity.
And confers on me happiness.
Because blessing means happy.
Yes.
Listen, listen.
Yes.
Oh, he treated Abraham well for her sake. He had, as Abraham, sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. One of those scriptures you have on your fridge. I walk in the power of God's favor.
I walk in the power of God's favor.
I am treated well by the authorities.
I am treated well well by the authorities.
And through Jesus, I gain an abundance of possessions. I don't know where you're going to put the sheep, the oxen and the donkeys. But... In Abraham's time, the sheep, the donkeys, the servants were the signs of great wealth.
Yes.
God wants you to have wealth so that the kingdom can be financed.
Right.
Amen. Not just so that you can have Ferraris, but you might have one enough left over for just one small one. I'm joking. Genesis 30, yeah, matchbox one. And Abraham was very rich. Oh dear, the Bible just goes on and on about this, doesn't it? And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. That's Genesis 13, verse 2. I am blessed just like Abraham.
I am blessed just like Abraham.
Because I serve the same God.
Because I serve the same God.
My God is my provider.
My God is my provider.
And he is in lack of nothing.
And he is in lack of nothing.
He is a God of abundance.
He is God of abundance.
Who rejoices in my prosperity in him.
Who rejoices in my prosperity in him.
In him I have an abundance in all things.
In him I have abundance in all things.
So you don't have to confess lack anymore.
Amen.
If there is lack, it's in denial of your inheritance. You're a child of God. So take it. Get all of it. So come on, just go and get on. I don't know what you... Well, anyway. Bad singing. Right, here we go. Genesis 14. That I will accept nothing belonging to you, this is Abraham speaking, not even a thread or a thong of it, of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. He's talking to someone who's rich, saying, I'm not taking what you're giving me, because you'll never be able to say it was you that made me rich. Declaration of faith. It is God and none other that has made me rich.
It is God and none other that has made me rich.
Okay, Genesis 15. We're getting there. You're all right doing this. You're not bored. I don't know about you, but you do this and you sort of feel a bit funny and a little bit embarrassed. I do, honest. But suddenly faith begins to rise up inside because you're speaking out the word of God. Okay, here we go then. Genesis 15, verse 1 from the Amplified. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. Declaration. I am afraid of nothing.
I am afraid of nothing.
God, the creator of the universe,
God, the creator of the universe,
is my shield.
Is my shield.
He grants me abundance to the extreme.
He grants me abundance to the extreme.
My reward in him is exceedingly great.
My reward in him is exceedingly great.
Again from Genesis 15, and Abraham believed in, trusted in, relied on, and remained steadfast to the Lord. And counted it to, and he counted it to him as righteousness. That is right standing with God.
Amen.
Amen. That was the Amplified. I believe in God.
I believe in God.
I have steadfast confidence in his complete integrity.
I have steadfast confidence in his complete integrity.
Because of this, he has given me the right to stand.
He has given me the right to stand.
Fearlessly in his presence.
Fearlessly in his presence.
Ooh. Genesis 15, verse 11. This is a funny one. Another one for your fridge. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. I have a covenant with God.
I have a covenant with God.
When demon forces come to defile that covenant,
when demon forces come to defile that covenant,
I forcefully drive them away.
I forcefully drive them away.
The terms of my covenant with God shall stand.
The terms of my covenant with God shall stand.
And I will not allow the devil to rob me of its benefits.
And I will not allow the devil to rob me of his benefits.
So easy to give in to the incessant nagging. But not anymore. Genesis 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in good old age. I will live a full and abundant life.
I will live a full and abundant life.
I will spend my days in peace.
I will spend my days in peace.
And will leave this earth at a ripe old age.
And will leave this earth at a ripe old age.
Hallelujah. Couple more?
Yeah, come on.
All right, when Abraham was 99 years old, so you've got a way to go, Keith. The Lord appeared to him. He only started to get the call then. You're still in waiting. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Lord, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, and complete. And I will make my covenant, my solemn pledge between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Oh, good stuff. I will live my life blamelessly before God.
I will live my life blamelessly before God.
I give him my whole heart.
I give him my whole heart.
And he makes me complete.
And he makes me complete.
He has sworn to me on his oath.
He has sworn to me on his oath.
That is our covenant of love.
That is our covenant of love.
To increase me in his prosperity. And multiply me in his abundance.
And multiply me in his abundance.
You have an abundance of blessings.
Yes.
An abundance of miracles.
Yes.
An abundance of faith.
Yes.
An abundance of provision.
Yes.
An abundance of friends.
Yes.
An abundance of anything you want to name.
Yes.
Cool. Then Abraham answered and said, "Indeed, now I am but dust and ashes, and have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I am bold to stand before God.
I am bold to stand before God.
And speak to him on behalf of those in need.
And speak to him on behalf of those in need."
Yes. That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
"That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand upon which the sea, and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." It's the last one. "With the blessing of Abraham, my father blesses me.
With the blessing of Abraham, my father blesses me.
With the multiplying of Abraham, my father multiplies me.
With the multiplying of Abraham, my father multiplies me.
With everything that Abraham received by faith,
everything that Abraham received by faith,
I can receive by faith.
I can receive by faith.
Through Abraham's seed," that's Jesus,
"through Abraham's seed," that's Jesus,
"I possess the gates of my enemies.
I possess the gates of my enemies.
In him, I have received happiness.
I have received happiness.
I have received peace.
I have received peace.
I have received prosperity.
I have received prosperity.
I have received good things of every kind.
I have received good things of every kind."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All we've done is read the word and taken hold of the promise. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't let sickness, as in Kate's testimony, or anything else take you down. Stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery.
Amen.
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 We're going to do something rather weird, because we're going to take up the offering, because God has blessed us abundantly.
Yes.
We'll take up our offering, checks to Kingdom Faith Church if you want to take church. And while we take up the offering, we're going to play a very spiritual song. We're going to play Take That all over again. Perhaps even slightly louder.
Yeah.
Because it was a bit quiet, John. All right, and you can listen to the words as you sing it and think, "Yeah, I can hear God speaking to me through Take That." That's very scary. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.